exciting episode of Box Office Breakdown. This, of course, is a show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we...
Prague.
Nas.
Stay.
Kate.
Oh, about the box office that lie ahead. Great job, guys. High five, Gary. Yeah. All right.
Can you reach across the table?
No, no, sorry, Brendan. No,
I can't. I can't find you.
No, can't. Come on, let's get. Yeah. I was almost. Get me. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, there we go. Very nice.
Tough.
Hey, everybody. A little different episode than usual here, as you may see. This is your old reliable host, Frank Moran, coming at you. But we'll explain later why you can't quite see me this episode, although you can hear me really well. And that's all thanks to the fantastic Bree in the booth.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, happy to be here today.
As always, folks, we're going to be talking about this week's box office, talk some international numbers, do our box office bet, and of course, we're going to end this episode with some hot, spoiler-filled talk about the Invisible Man film. So we'll give you the heads up, though, if you don't want to be spoiled, give you an opportunity at the end to duck out so we don't spoil anything for you. But before we get started, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up while you're there. 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5, however many you can. But, Carrie, if they're watching us after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, you can comment down below. And I already see a bunch of people in the live stream, so welcome.
Nice. A fist bump, Carrie.
Fist bump, too? Okay. Yeah.
All right. There you go. Very nice.
I don't know how you keep finding him.
Skills.
That's right.
They're called skills.
All right, so folks, coming off this weekend is our number one film this week is The Invisible Man, making $29 million.
That's quite a bit.
And was also the subject of our box office bet. And whoever lost the box office bet was going to have to be invisible for this episode.
And so I guess you lost.
That was me. That was me with my $36 million bet came in third place. So I am now invisible for this episode. Although you'll be able to hear me. Brandon, narrowly avoiding the invisibility ray at 35.7.
Nearly.
And then Bree coming in as our winner, once again, back on top.
Woo!
Look at that, with that sweet, sweet $26.3 million bet.
Woo!
There
get
you
another
go.
Cheer.
I mean, this is why you always give a professional score. You don't give round numbers. Because that .3 saved me from not having to be invisible today.
That's true, because I mean, in the event of a tie, we would have both been.
Oh.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
That's
just
true.
Being carried, basically.
Well, you're invisible too, all things considered.
Yeah, but I mean, later on I won't be that.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have that in the budget? I mean, invisibility technology is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
And then, well, speaking of technology, if anybody's watching and having a little bump in the live chat, don't worry, it's just on YouTube's end, and it's all good.
Because this show's going to be so good. That after it's finished streaming live, you're going to want to go back and watch it.
Yes.
To get that quality, smooth performance there.
And then just turn your volume up if you can't hear us that well.
There you go.
Because, you know, can't see Frank. So.
True. Don't adjust your camera, though. You still won't be able to see.
Yeah, don't adjust your camera.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, again, Invisible Man coming up top, $29 million. Again, we're going to do some more spoiler-filled talk. But overall, Brendan, what did you think of the film?
I absolutely love this movie. It is, I mean, I know the year is early, but this is my favorite movie of the year so far.
Wow.
I absolutely loved Upgrade. Lee Winnell did.
Oh,
Insidious Chapter 3,
Upgrade.
Not the best in the franchise, okay. But that was his directorial debut, so you got to cut him a little bit of slack. So he's crushing it with back-to-back amazing films, and I think he just signed a huge deal with Blumhouse to continue making films for them. Maybe will that lead to more Universal Monster movies? Hopefully not like the Dark Universe. Hopefully a lot more like The Invisible Man. Elizabeth Moss's acting was absolutely incredible in this film. And the cinematography was so great. The way that they utilized empty space in this film, obviously with an invisible man being on the loose, it was executed really well. And I cannot wait to see it again.
Now, Brendan, we had talked about this last week, but what would happen if this film did well for Lee Winnell coming out of this? And as you mentioned, he did sign that first look deal with Blumhouse. Would you want to see him handle other Universal Monster films or rather just have him do other projects that would fall under the kind of the Blumhouse umbrella?
I wouldn't be upset if he got to do more Universal Monster movies. But I think I would prefer maybe he do more original stuff. And however, I would like to see them continue to make Universal Monster movies on a low budget. Like this was made for $7 million, which is absolutely incredible. They're obviously going to make great profits on this, and they should keep doing it. This is exactly what Blumhouse does at their best.
I was going to say, classic horror, you don't spend a lot and exactly. you get a lot of returns.
I love those classic Universal monster movies, and they do not require more than a $10 million budget at all. So if they can keep doing those films this way, under this budget, executing them in such a fashion, and maybe Lee Whannell could act as a producer on a lot of these films, don't get ahead of yourself like the Dark Universe did and absolutely crash and burn. Take your time, just make the movies stand on their own, but maybe leave open the possibility for a crossover at some point, but don't make that information public that that's what you're planning to do either, because then when you do fail, it looks really bad, as we've already seen. But I would like some other filmmakers to potentially come in and do some, I don't know, Bride of Frankenstein or The Wolfman or anything like that. A good Dracula movie finally would be great.
No,
we'll
I mean,
see.
I would almost rather them do it like Split, where at the end, during the end credits, oh, you see Bruce Willis. Yeah, you see that Bruce Willis scene in the cafe watching that on screen. You're like, oh, wait a minute. This is all tying in? I'd be down for that as opposed to like, hey, yeah, we're all crossing over, guys.
Fair. I want to give a quick shout out in the chat. M.A. Raygun says, this is the coolest thing. I'm cracking up. So they're digging the invisibility.
Oh, all right. There you go. Yep. Good reading there, Carrie. Mm-hmm. All right.
But they want to know if your phone's going to float when you type in our numbers for the box office bet.
Oh, guys, no spoilers, please.
You know.
Brie, you also saw it as well. What did you think?
I liked it. I thought it was enjoyable. I wouldn't classify it personally myself as any kind of a horror film. It was more thriller to me. But I don't know if that's just because I've seen enough of Blumhouse that I was telling Carrie earlier. I was like, I can kind of like map out their beats of like, okay, now we're going to get a scare. Now we're going to get a jump scare. Now they're not going to do anything because they're prepping it up for us to be scared. So for me, I didn't really get scared by the film, but I still really enjoyed it. And I thought it was a really fun story.
So they're getting a little too formulaic for you?
Yeah, I guess.
Fair?
But I don't know if that's just them or just every horror film.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
But then that's nice when there's a horror film that changes it up and does the scare when you don't expect
it. But other people in the theater were scared,
so. Yeah.
Because, like, there was definitely moments where other people were screaming.
Screaming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had one scream in our theater.
Wow.
Well, that's interesting to me that you would say that it's formulaic, because for me, I mean, some of it maybe was a little predictable, but for the most part, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. I never knew what was going to happen next, except for maybe a few small beats here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they really succeeded well in that.
Yeah, like I said, I watch a lot of horror films.
That's
so
fair.
It might be that I just have watched so many horror films at this point that I can kind of predict when things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I try not to do that. I try not to overthink it.
I try not to, too, because there's some movies where and shows where you're kind of you almost want to turn that off because then it almost is dull when you get the results. So you're just like, I'm just going to take this as it is and not like get ahead of myself.
That's true. I did think, though, that the acting was phenomenal. I mean, Elizabeth Moss is just an amazing actress. And she's really good at having that like very sweetness to her. But then, like, it switches over to being complete badass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's very, very good at that. If you ever watched Handmaid's Tale, very
right?
similar.
Yes, she's great in that.
All right, coming in number two this week is Sonic the Hedgehog, $16 million.
I saw that one.
And did you enjoy
it? Did you see it?
I still have not seen it.
I was going to say, I'm like, I forgot what we said about that. I did enjoy it. I thought it was very fun. I played the game a bit as a kid. It wasn't like my top favorite game, but it was nice that it was a movie that had kind of homages to the game in terms of like he has his rings and he gets hit and the rings go scatter. I'm like, I remember that in playing. But if you had never played Sonic in your entire life, that'd be fine. You wouldn't be lost. There were maybe one or two moments that were a little bit like, so the rings take him anywhere he wants to go and the bad guys are nearby and he goes, they're right outside. I need to go somewhere else. I'm like, oh, could we have just had that line just be a little different? It felt too like plot. It was like, ugh. But besides that, I thought Jim Carrey is phenomenal. He's hilarious. And I was kind of wondering if for kids, this is their experience into Jim Carrey's quirkiness that like we watch. It's like very Ace Ventura, you know, just he does a great job of making this weird, quirky guy a believable person. They go, yes, that's a person. And there's a lot of humor in it. I like the action. Like, I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for you or anything. I know it's been out for a little while. But yeah, just very entertaining.
I think it's fair game at this point.
I know,
want to spoil
right?
It.
I'm like, well, yeah, there's some like good jokes in it that were really funny. Shout out Donut Lord. That was really fun. And Pretzel Lady. The other thing that was a little bit weird that I asked my friends, and it's one of those, it's subtle, but I don't know if anybody else noticed with it. So I liked the main couple as a couple. I'm like, sure, they're really interesting. They have an argument. She gives them a look, and I'm like, yes, I believe this argument. It's a real, like, okay. But then at the end of the movie, there's a moment, and the guy goes, and she doesn't do anything? Like, it felt so stiff and awkward. I mean, I know every couple's different, but they're... physical connection was and it was so cheesy. I'm like, could someone have just directed that a little bit different to be like, just sit there together? So I don't know. Sometimes it's subtle, but it's something in a movie when it's so minute, it just takes you out that you're like, oh, I was buying it until now. Or the couple. But otherwise, yes, the movie's great. I know that's a really tiny detail, but again, small things can be like, oh well. It's like the coffee couple words. Wait, did you watch that yet?
No.
We need to watch that. Oh. Anyway, you dying over there? Yeah, I don't know if actually, we can give you Heimlich.
I'm just actually a little parched, Carrie. Can I just have a just a little sip of your water real quick? Just a little.
I don't know if I want to share it. Everybody's getting sick nowadays.
No, it's just dry throat. Come on, we're friends. Oh, how dare you. I'm just now going to be struggling. Okay, that's fine.
Oh, well, yeah, someone does want to see you try to drink water.
There
but...
you go. Coming in at number three, Call of the Wild.
And Frank's just not wearing his headphones. That's why they're not floating. You don't.
Yeah, Frank's
don't,
being a rebel, basically.
Yeah, you don't have to wear the headphones. It's just better because we can hear everything. But yeah,
so Frank basically, like, he can only hear me through Carrie's headphones right now.
It's, so I would just have to tell him what Bree says.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also, it looks like we are having some camera difficulties within the booth here, so I will unfortunately have to be the Invisible Woman as well for this show.
Oh, okay. Then that's fine.
Wait, is Bree saying something? What's Bree saying?
Yeah, Neil asked, Brandon, are you telling me you didn't like Alex Kurtzman's terrible mummy movie?
I mean, actually, I kind of liked it. It's certainly not great by any means. I'll say I'm in the minority where I did not hate that movie. I actually thought it was pretty cool.
That was the Tom Cruise one?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't hate it either. I liked
the tone of it. Yeah. It was like, I liked what they were trying to do, but it was too much all at once.
90s Brendan Fraser one all the way.
Yes, 100% on that.
Frank doesn't really agree with that one.
No, not a huge Brendan Fraser mummy fan.
It's so good.
What's wrong with you? It's too corny.
Benny, you're on the wrong side of the room.
All right. Coming in number three.
Can you let Frank know he's wrong?
Frank, you're wrong.
Yeah. What?
Oh. Says Brie.
I'm sorry. Oh. That you don't hate great. You don't love great cinema, Frank. That's why you're invisible today.
All right. Number three is Call of the Wild at 13.2. My Hero Academia, Heroes Rising. $5.1 million.
Yes!
Look at that, breaking the top five.
Giving a shout out to them. I'm so excited. I was like, I knew they were doing well, but damn, making the top five. Shout out My Hero. If you haven't seen it, I do really recommend it. I was going to say, I don't think I talked about it on this show yet. No, because I talked about it in the anime after show. The My Hero Academia movie, it's the second one. You do not have to have seen the first one, and you actually don't really have to have seen much, if any, of the show. You won't be totally lost. Because they have their moments where they're like, hey, this is the world we're in. This is kind of what's going on right now. But without it being dull for those of us who are up to date with the show or the manga. Maybe if you've seen it and you're going to like bring your friends, maybe have them watch a couple episodes so they're a little more familiar with the class. Because it's a bunch of students and the movie doesn't have necessarily a breakdown of what they all can do. Because essentially it's think like X-Men-ish. They all got quirks, so they call them quirks and that's their ability. So you wouldn't have any explanation on what those are, but that's not necessarily a problem. The villains are really fun. I like they're a different set of villains, and how the thing that makes this movie even better than the first one is you get to see all of the classmates do something cool. Because in the first one, it was mainly like a few of them, like the top three students essentially. But in this one, everybody gets their moment to shine, and that I really appreciated. There's a couple of things where something happens where a character gets this great character development and then they kind of go rewind and like, I don't want to spoil it, but I'm just like, well, that was convenient, but that's probably my only complaint with it. Otherwise, I highly recommend. It was really exciting action anime movie. And again, you don't really have to be super familiar with the show, but if you just want a cool, exciting action movie with comedy too, and you can watch it English or subbed or dubbed.
Look at that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait. Maybe I should have read your notes ahead of time. But yes, I was excited to talk about that.
You're not reading my notes?
Yeah, well, actually, Yeah, I don't care what you say. But Arkham James in the chat says, love My Hero. How does it stack against other films from the past like DBZ, Digimon, Naruto, Pokemon, etc.? I think it's a I enjoy the anime movies where like I can go and enjoy it because I'm maybe familiar with the topic, but I could be like, hey friends, do you want to come see it too? But you won't be totally lost, because those are ones that are unfortunate where it'd be like, okay, you can't go, I have to explain so much to you. Because there was another movie like Tanya, when that movie came out, Tanya Saga of Evil, you should have seen at least half the show, because otherwise some big plot points are not addressed in the movie whatsoever, but they make a huge difference if you've seen the show. So I think it was good, and it doesn't feel like super fluff, and it just helps add to the world instead of just feeling like, you know, it's not a filler episode. There we go.
I feel like with any Dragon Ball Z movie, you have to have definitely seen the show.
I think you'll be a little lost.
Because I went to that one that came out, I guess, most recently.
Yeah.
With, like, Golden Frieza coming back. You would be lost completely, I think.
That was actually my first Dragon Ball Z film that I ever saw. But I noticed, Carrie, that when you said, hey, friends, come see this movie with me, you only looked at Brandon. You didn't look at me. That's cool.
You're pretty picky on your cartoons sometimes-ish. But
whatever.
And then, yes, Arkham says, I do think I liked it a lot better than the first one. I mean, the first one was good, but I think this one was much better. Also, Emma Rayguns pointed out, I love seeing cosplayers at their theater walking out of the movie. So I think that's awesome. People dressed up for it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And rounding out our top five here is Brandon's film of 2020.
Dude, still in the top five.
Bad Boys for Life.
It's in there for life.
It's right. In there for life.
That's right.
It's going to be at number five all the way through December.
Because we only live through December.
So, folks, we've got, of course, I am invisible because of this week's box office bet. But
Frank.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We have a very important question for you.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes.
T Futurist asks, if Frank is invisible, does this mean he's nude? Is the studio properly heated? You know, that is a funny thing when you're dealing with invisibility, because actually in My Hero there is a character and her quirk is she's invisible, but she has clothes. But I'm pretty sure they figure out later how to make her a special uniform that can adjust with her body, but I'm like, otherwise, does that mean she's running around? Also, that's in the Boys TV show, too.
Yeah, no, I'm naked, guys.
Okay.
I think it depends on what type of technology we used to make Frank invisible.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't have a huge budget, guys. Unfortunately, it was just flesh alone, no clothing.
It was either the mech suit that he could wear or the spray, the chemicals, and he just disappears. Yeah. And the chemicals just a little cheaper. So.
Yep.
So, folks, next week's box office bet are going to be revolving around two films, Onward, the new Pixar film, and The Way Back, the new Ben Affleck drama. We always try to create these
stakes
now.
There's another one.
Yeah, we're just going to focus on these two.
Okay, fine.
For Onward, we're just going to, whoever loses is going to be at the whim. We'll get a 20-sided die. The other two people will be the DMs or other, and before the other person can talk, they'll give them a series of challenges, whether it be a way to talk, something they have to do before they can speak. It could be interesting. And then The Way Back is a basketball drama. We're going to find something to do with the basketball in the course of this. We haven't quite nailed that down. But, folks, start voting there in the chat about which film you want us to do for the box office bet. And we'll do that towards the end of the show.
I mean, in sports, they always, like, punish you by making you run laps or something. Like, maybe someone has to get up and run around the desk at first.
Oh, that's true. There you go. Yeah.
You have to run around the studio.
Just get back winded.
Yeah. I was like, no, you guys do not know how much time I spent, like, adjusting my hair. I wanted to take my headphones off. But, Frank,
but
I was going to...
But don't lose, Carrie.
Right?
Yeah, just don't lose.
Neela says, I haven't seen Upgrade. Maybe I should. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. It's so good. Frank, I was noticing my tablet's still in your shot, but it's probably good so that people still know it's an active shot.
Well, how dare you? That's rude, Carrie. I can't believe you do that to
you. You know.
There you go.
I was trying to move it out of the way, but it's still there. I'm sorry.
Here, let me just move it over slightly. There you go. Oh, see? There you go. Thank you. There we go. So, folks, some quick international numbers here. The Invisible Man... Boy, look at it going there. It is it's doing well there. It made its first appearance in the international box office this weekend, scaring up $20.2 million in 47 markets. So combined with the domestic start, it got $49.2 million globally. very nice, strong start for, especially, as Brendan was saying, $7 million budget there. Producer Jason Blum was out touring the movie with the team in the UK, France, and Spain during mid-February, and the sighting saw good dividends. So the top opening market on the $7 million production was in the UK, internationally at $2.86 million, followed by France at $2.2 million, and Mexico at $1.85 million. Now, Paramount still has bragging rights to the number one movie at the international box office, with Sonic the Hedgehog making its hat trick, leading the third session in a row, adding $26.8 million in 62 markets. So now it's got $137.2 million overseas and $265.5 million globally.
So it's doing all right.
Now, in important Brandon news, Sony's Bad Boys for Life has crossed $400 million globally, not $406 million. How much of that is is from you, Brandon?
I like to think that I influenced at least 100 million of that number. You know, I think that's the word of mouth that I spread personally.
Yeah. Makes a difference.
If you want to bring me on for Bad Boys 4 for Life, then you know who to call.
Yeah. And surprisingly, Miramax is the Gentleman also passed $100 million worldwide as well. So, well, the film was fine, but I was still like, oh, all right. So, folks.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I felt the Gentleman was okay.
Yeah.
I like the Gentleman.
I get you.
Real quick before we get into the box office bet, we've got to pick next week's top five so we can get into a little in-depth discussion about The Invisible Man. So we're adding Onward and The Way Back into these. Do you see either of those dethroning The Invisible Man?
I think Onward. Yeah. Onward will.
I feel Onward's going to do well. Kids, animated. As well as Pixar, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, Pixar. Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about The Way Back. Like, will it push Invisible Man to number three, or will The Way Back come in at third?
I still have not watched the trailer for it yet. Are you excited about it, Brandon?
It wasn't in The Way Back? It wasn't in your Invisible Man trailer. It was in mine.
It was in mine, yeah.
I walked in just before the movie started.
Frank.
Nice.
Don't
like a
be
boss.
One of those people.
Now, I mean, yeah,
that's
nice.
What I did for Sonic. I was in there, and they had so many families and kids rolling in right before the movie started. My theater was barely full, and then there's this horde of children and parents.
Yeah, you always get
in.
The false hope. They're like, oh, maybe I'll have two empty seats next to me.
Yeah, I'm like, oh,
and I can spread
people.
Out, and then right as the movie starts, they come in. You're like, oh, yeah.
I'm all kid laugh track.
Maybe I can get the sides of the armrest at least.
I don't leave now for a film until after the trailers start. Then I drive to the movie theater. I was like, I feel like I know I've got 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AMC it depends theaters, how close typically. You are to your theater, too.
Just 2 hours.
Just 2 hours?
Maybe not bad. Maybe poor timing on my part.
Mm.
All right.
All right. We're getting a couple votes. Keep it coming, everybody.
Mm-hmm. So is everybody looking at Onward, The Way Back, Invisible Man?
I'd go with Onward, Invisible Man, The Way Back.
I think so. It'll be close. It'll be close, though.
I don't know. Ben Affleck could pull.
Hold on.
A heart. He could. I think The Way Back could take two.
I think it's going to be a great movie. It's directed by Gavin O'Connor, who did Warrior and Miracle, and he's got a great track record. And this is like a really personal story for Ben Affleck after what he's gone through with his own issues with alcoholism and all that stuff. So I think it's going to be a really well-made film, and I can't wait to see it myself. And I think because of the personal story, and it's kind of Ben Affleck's personal journey a little bit, I think that kind of press is also going to push people to go see it maybe a little bit. But also, Invisible Man is just going really strong right now. It's got a great word of mouth, so I think it might just edge it out.
I think I'll throw a curveball in there and say the Onward, Invisible Man, Emma, and The Way Back, and then Sonic.
There you go. Brendan, before we wrap this up, the last thing, does Bad Boys for Life stick around one more weekend?
Well, I just predicted that it would be number five for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, that's right. So, yes, there you go. All right.
For life.
All right, folks, it is time for our box office bet on the film that you, yes, you in the chat, have chosen. So whichever film you voted on the most, whether it be Onward or The Way Back, we will do our box office bet for that. And if you've never seen the box office bet before, we will bet on what the opening box office gross will be for the film you've chosen in the chat. The winner will be the prognosticator or prognosticators like Bree, And then the loser would be like me, and we'll have to go see the movie, tell you all about it, and then whatever our little fun little spin punishment on top of that is.
Yeah, Emma Ray Guns in the chat says, there's no way The Way Back comes in at number two, most likely number three.
We'll see. I don't know. People love like those heartfelt sports films. Truth. And Ben Affleck.
All right. Keep Going in the Vote by Ken Jack. Onward is up in the votes right now.
All right. Well, then let's...
Well, we all said number one.
Yeah, all did.
Onward, yeah, number one.
Let's
Onward.
Do it.
There you go.
Too late. Vote's closed.
That's right. We're doing Onward because we got a couple minutes for Invisible Man talk.
I don't know what I'm going to vote for this movie.
Pixar, you've got Tom Holland, you've got Chris Pratt, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Okay.
A father with just pants. No top to him.
Most of the time when I don't know, I just pick numbers that are associated with baseball players that I admire. So that's what I'm doing today.
And I don't know if we've seen a Pixar film come out this early in the year.
Possibly. I mean,
usually more summer, more winter. But to see it this early, so it's throwing off what I think it may be able to do. All right, I'm just throwing out a number. Oh boy, we'll see where it goes. All right, Brie, how do you feel?
I think I'm feeling pretty okay.
Wow. All right.
I feel like if I'm gonna say I feel awesome, then I lose. So I can't. I'm not gonna say that.
Yeah, I said that, and then I had to wear a onesie.
Although I don't know how I would partake in these bets somehow, but we'll figure it out.
All right. Well, let's see here. Everybody's locked in?
Yes.
I am locked in.
Okay. I've got mine. All right. Brie, what do you got?
I'm going to go with 53.8.
Ooh, 53.8. Very nice. Very nice.
Okay.
Well, that's much higher than where I went.
All right.
I better prepare for this.
All right, Brandon, what do you got?
I picked $34.8 million.
Ooh, 34.8.
34 right. For current New York Met Noah Syndergaard and 8 for former New York Met Gary Carter.
Very okay, nice. Okay,
this is kind of weird because 8s are a popular number. I got 37.8.
Okay.
This is pretty too many in your number because we got three people in a row with the number 8.
37 might be Casey Stengel, I believe.
And for me, I wish you could see the number. The Invisible Ray also did affect my phone, but I'm holding out this number. I swear it says $44 million.
Okay.
Another rookie score.
There you go.
Yeah, I told you to keep your phone away from the spray.
I know, it's tough. Frank. I mean, I'm a social media beast, so I can't be.
It's going to take forever to wash off.
That's right. So, folks, we're going to call it. We're going to have a couple minutes so we can just do a couple hot takes on The Invisible Man. But if you don't want to be spoiled, thanks for joining us. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up or two or three. Ouch. You hit me in the face, Carrie. 4, 5.
You're leaning over a lot then.
I'm sorry. but if you want to stay in touch with any of us even after the show's over, Brie, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S everywhere.
Brandon?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHannah07.
And you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And go check out, there's a My Hero Academia after show on AfterBuzz. And we talked a little bit about the movie last week. We have red carpet videos on the popcorn truck. I think they're on AfterBuzz. Sorry, we have videos from the red carpet, and we'll be talking more about it today.
Oh, fantastic. Quick, how many fingers am I holding up?
7.
They're invisible.
Brandon was close. It was 2.
Oh.
All right. But, sorry.
Okay.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie, folks. So now, a quick minute, a couple of minutes of some hot Invisible Man talk.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
I'm sitting back because I didn't watch it, but go ahead. Talk about it.
Hot take. The film, I enjoyed it, but there are moments of very convenient where, like, when's he actually around the Invisible Man and when he isn't? So the scene where we see there at the mental ward where she's being incarcerated, where she's able to easily get the pen and gum and hold it up in her cell, where we feel like this guy especially would be around watching everything. So there were moments like that that were kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely loved the film. There were like a few moments I thought maybe Elizabeth Moss's character was like kind of dumb almost, like for the convenience of the plot, when I felt like she's smarter than that. Like in the beginning when she does run away and she decides, like, oh, I got to take the bark collar off the dog. And, of course, the dog then hits the car, sets off the car alarm. That's the reason he's able to catch up with her in the first place. It's like, oh, don't do that. Like, I know the dog's adorable, but just leave. Like, you're in a bad situation. You've planned this for how long? Just get out of there. So stuff like that, I was like, made things a little more difficult than they need to be for a character who I thought otherwise was really intelligent because she's a badass and it's awesome. But there was some lapses in judgment where I was like, oh, she should not have done that.
The one thing that really bugged me is that there's an invisible, she uncovers the Invisible Man costume at some point in the film where she's been, she's got done with a major fight with this guy and she's finally got away from him. But I don't know how many Invisible Man costumes there are in here, because if there's two, so that multiple people can use them, that's great. But no, at no point does he go and check and say, oh, wait, my first Invisible Man costume, somebody took it. Uh-oh, I better be careful. Like, that's never explained.
Maybe he just assumed that the suit was still invisible.
I guess, but that seemed weird to me.
I have my two things.
So lay it on. Okay.
So the one is, like, along the same lines as you with the suit, is that the change of her for the suit at the end was just remarkably fast.
Yes.
That I was like, how? But, okay. And then the second thing was that I told you guys that there was a scene that the writing was just, I could not. And it was the scene at the restaurant with Taylor. And he's like, have you eaten here before? She goes, no, but I figure we just order food and eat. He goes, well, we do it a little differently. I was like, who wrote this? Who wrote Taylor's line? But also, I kind of want a spinoff of Taylor.
That's true. Yeah, he was so upbeat and positive in there.
Okay.
Yeah. I still couldn't quite figure out why he was hiding everything up in the attic of that house that she was staying in. The knife, all her artwork. Yeah. And then he puts a cell phone up there saying, like, oh, she'll call my cell phone and this will turn
off. That was another thing. The cell phone has evidence that somebody was in the house taking photos of her while she was sleeping. Take the phone. Bring that to the police and say, listen, and drop the whole Invisible Man thing. She kept the whole movie was like, there's an invisible man after me. You know nobody's going to believe you.
Oh, just, that's just, an
just,
annoying
just grab the phone
one.
And just say, there's a man after me.
Why was the knife in a bag?
That was, or I was confused by that. I'm like, maybe like fingerprints reasons or something. Yeah, but then I was like, why did she take it out of the bag?
So that's right.
Then he wouldn't get fingerprints because his hands are covered.
That's dumb.
There was some silly stuff like that, but I easily forgave it because I loved everything else about the movie. And I loved the way it ended,
too. It was a really enjoyable movie. There was just definitely some flaws cooked in within it. And I have never seen the original, but I have seen Hollow Man. Which I know is more based on the original.
I liked Hollow Man,
I've heard about the original, this is a 100% different story than the original.
Yeah, it's completely different. Claude Rains in the original, you cannot get that guy to shut up. He's the most talkative invisible man ever. He loves giving monologues, and we barely hear a peep out of the Invisible Man in this movie.
Surprise.
Yeah. There you go.
Where is that Frank behind me?
Yeah, that's a weird one. Like, that's always annoying in a movie.
I'm right behind you.
Where somebody's saying something and saying the same thing and it's not working. Change what you're saying. Yeah. It just is so good to know that that's going to happen in it. So, anyway, we need to wrap this up.
But I did say I did like the tech on the suit. I thought there were some cool close-up shots of how it worked. It looked interesting.
Yeah, okay. That was really cool. And again, I love the ending because it does kind of set up an Invisible Woman movie potentially with Elizabeth Moss, which could be cool. So, we'll see.
All right, folks.
Dark Universe.
That's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We'll see you back here next Sunday for an all-new episode right here on Popcorn Talk. Go see some movies.
See ya.
Surprise. This is Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Winfrey.